This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it has been one eventful week for the Capitals. They finally beat the Sharks. Walker takes a walk to Edmonton. Oshie, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's not playing anytime soon. Joining me, as always, to talk about everything Washington Capitals is Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I feel pretty good. It is December. It's the holiday season. And the Caps have finally, it seems as if they have found a groove here a little bit. They're pretty good. They got a couple wins, got a bad game out of the way. But let's start off with news that broke last week. It was a day after we recorded, per usual. And Nathan Walker was put on waivers by the Capitals. All signs pointed to him going to Hershey. And we haven't seen this in a long time, but Nathan Walker claimed off waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. And so he's no longer in the Capitals system. And apparently there were a lot of teams that wanted Nathan Walker. He was a hot commodity that day. What's your take on this? Is this a bad move by the Caps? Is this a good move because they didn't really have plans for him? What's your take on it?
I think it's just another situation. I think I put this on Twitter. McClellan has messed up where you have a young guy who's cheap, so he's not a salary cap problem. He's got some speed, and you've let him go for absolutely freaking nothing. Now, I understand if you're in a salary cap situation and you move out a couple of veterans because and you potentially get nothing really worthwhile in, because you're doing it as a salary cap dump. I understand that, and that's fine. We've seen that from teams in the past when they're in cash-strapped situations, and that's how Winnipeg or Atlanta at the time ends up with Dustin Byfuglien. But my point is, you don't lose a guy like that who can fill in on your fourth line for absolutely nothing when you are cash strapped and you need guys like that. So I think this was a dumb move. I think it's another situation where McClellan was not prepared. He didn't do the homework in the offseason. He's put this team in salary cap problems because he, A, overpaid for Orpik in the beginning, and then now, B, is refusing to move him out. And I understand why he's not doing it. I just disagree with it. I get the need to have a veteran presence in the locker room, and Orpik does that apparently better than anybody else with these young defensemen, and you need that with a guy like Christian Jews and Madison Bowie and potentially any of the other guys you end up recalling at some point in the season. But then why – no, what I was going to say is just stupid because – that's not why you only have Matt Niskanen, but Matt Niskanen is a veteran. John Carlson is a veteran. And while they may not do it the way Brooks Orpik does it, you also coach and guys are supposed to be working with these players. And I understand there's a difference between the young guys working with the veteran players. But you have enough veteran guys around. And we talked about it before. We worked the numbers that if you moved I forgot his name. Orpik, I'll say Bowie, that's not right. If you move Orpik out, you potentially had enough money to re-sign Carl Alsner or another veteran that could come in and do some of the same things that Orpik is doing now. I guess my long-winded point is that this is another situation where McClellan has made a mistake and it's cost this team. Walker's not a guy that in 10 years we're going to regret because he's lighting up the league and doing – I mean, I hope he does well and maybe he does light up the league, but I don't expect it. This is not Philip Forsberg. This is not Forsberg levels of stupidity. But what this is another sign that McClellan is botching the general manager aspects of this team.
Here's the thing. I understand Barry Trotz and the GM, Brian McClellan, kind of going, look, this guy doesn't have a future in our system. At least he doesn't right now. Let's send him back down to the AHL because we're not going to use him. Let him get some... let him get some ice time, and maybe he'll get a little bit better. Because Barry Trotz was complaining.
Yeah, but you know he's not going to clear waivers. They're dumb if they honestly thought he – sorry, I'm going to cut you off. But you're dumb if you honestly thought he was going to clear waivers. This is a young guy who's cheap. He's got some speed. And the NHL is moving towards being a speed league. So why let him go? For nothing. Like, I get it. If you need to move him out, get a set. Somebody would have given you a seventh round pick, because apparently there was more than – we don't know who else, because I don't know if they ever tell you that, who else puts it away around a guy. Sometimes we find that out. But obviously a bunch of teams wanted him, and someone would have given up a seventh, maybe a sixth round pick for him, or maybe they would have given up a prospect that they weren't too sure on. And at least you're getting something for him instead of absolutely freaking nothing. And now – we've probably pissed off an entire country of people, and it started as a penal colony, so you know they're probably angry.
You see, that's the thing. We lost depth here. And, all right, so you weren't happy with Nathan Walker's work against the Walls. But this guy was – I liked Nathan Walker. I thought he had a lot of talent. Was he going to be the next Ovechkin? No. But he could have been a solid guy like him. I think him and Jay Beagle could have made a really good pairing. I think they could have done really well. Beagle's very defensive minded. Nathan Walker's got man, he's got some fire underneath his skates, and he's definitely got some speed. He's got skill when it comes to scoring. I don't know what Barry Trotz saw, because I saw a lot of talent there. But here's the thing that really does tick me off. He was a part of the cap system years ago. Was it 4 or 5 years ago? And because he was from Australia, he couldn't enter the draft at a certain time. So they invited him. He was just an AHLer, like we were discussing before the show. He was not affiliated with the Capitals, but he was in the AHL and he was learning. Then the Capitals actually do draft him, even though he's already had a year of AHL experience. He goes to South Carolina, he breaks his leg or something, and he's out for a little bit. Then he does really well in Hershey. Then he comes up to the Capitals. So you have invested a ton of money in this player because he's already been in your organization for 5 years. And you use him for 7 games, and you're like, well, it's a good try. Don't really have plans for him. After 5 years, and you lose depth, you lose skill, you lose a guy who knows your system for nothing. That's very poor office work right there. It really is, because that's insane to me that you would invest time, you would invest money, you would invest 5 years in an employee to just kind of go, yeah, it's not working out, thanks a lot, bye. I've seen it done in the real world. You know, people have been at jobs for 30 years, and they're like, all right, thanks for your time. See you later. Get out. But come on. This guy knew how it worked. He needed more time in the NHL to get better. He did. He could have been better.
That's possible. I mean, for all we know, he could have gotten played more and ended up being, a career AHL guy. And, you know, I'm not knocking. That's certainly a nice living to have, especially in a nice area like Hershey. But I feel like they didn't really give him an opportunity to prove himself in the NHL level. And I saw that there are things they didn't necessarily like. He didn't really play on the PK in Hershey, so they weren't comfortable putting him on the PK in DC, and that's fine. But work with the kid. It wasn't like he was costing you a ton of cap space, so you couldn't play him. And it wasn't like you had a lot of options to put guys on the first and second line that Walker was taking up those spots. I mean, we're going to talk about, but they recalled Travis Boyd, got his first NHL game, so congratulations to him. But it isn't like he's coming up. He was playing on the third line. He's all right. He's got some speed. You know, he's all right. He's doing well.
How long did they waste with Stan Galiev or whatever his name was up with the main roster?
Yeah, but you see it all the time with teams. You see it all the time with teams. Well, that's true. That's a good point, where he was there forever because they were afraid to lose him because they thought they saw something. Honestly, I think that they probably thought that Walker was going to sneak through, and that was a mistake to think that that kind of guy, a cheap guy who's got speed, who's young and has potential to be something – a team that has salary cap space that is still up and coming, like the Edmonton Oilers, are going to take a flyer on him because it's not really going to cost him anything to do it. And it literally costs you just a paycheck. I was going to say nothing, but you have to pay the guy. But all it costs you is a paycheck because you got him off waivers. So, no, it was a dumb move. And I don't feel like they really gave him enough of an opportunity to know what they have for him. And I get that they wanted him to play and all of that. Then play him. Because it's not like Graevac's doing a lot more.
Right.
And you play him. So it's just another botch. It's another drop. It's another stupid thing that they did.
It was. And
it's become
best of luck to Nathan Walker in Edmonton. We hope the best for him. I think we are going to see some big things from this guy. I don't think they're going to be, like you said, Philip Forsberg levels, but he is a solid guy. He could have been a
third, fourth line at most on a good team, fourth line on a non-playoff team, third line.
He could have been something.
I'm projecting.
I mean, for 5 years, that's the thing that gets me. 5 years in your system, and you give him 7 games at the top level. It just makes no sense to me. 5 years you've been watching this guy develop. Come on. All right. So, I mean, that's all we got to say for Nathan Walker, but best of luck to you in Edmonton, buddy. So let's talk about the other big news is TJ Oshie. So the Caps came out. They beat the San Jose Sharks for the first time in forever in D.C. I saw them get walloped last year when San Jose came to town. But they were able to – yeah, it was a bad one. It was on election night. That was a weird game to be at because it was silent. It was like people weren't – like they were like, oh, we're not going to watch election covers. Let's go to the game. But then they just went to the game and like were on their phone the whole time. So like no one was paying attention. It was really odd. But
that was a sad day.
Yeah. But San Jose comes to town and TJ Oshie gets hit awkwardly in the head by Joe Thornton. And it looks like he's not going to be playing for a little bit because I don't know if it's an upper body injury, a concussion or whatever. It looks like a concussion to me. But TJ Oshie gets hit in the head. So, Coach Dan, before we talk about the impact on the team without TJ Oshie, what did you think of the hit? Illegal hit, legal hit, just one of those things? Was it targeted? What's your thoughts?
I mean, the hit itself. So Oshie goes down and ends up getting the side of Thornton's ass in his head or his hip. And the hit itself looked like it wouldn't have been that bad if Oshie was standing. He goes down. It's debatable as whether Thornton had time to ease up or avoid the hit entirely. It looks like the NHL is not going to talk to him about it. I think it's one of those things where it's just kind of a fluky bad play. That he goes down because I forget who the other player was, but he knocked him down. Thornton was already going for the hit, and it was just sort of an unfortunate play. It looks like he may not play Oshie being against Chicago on Wednesday. So I don't know. I mean, you hope it's not a concussion because those things are so tricky. And he had one last year, right?
I don't know if he had a concussion last year or not. I remember he was out for a while because of a shoulder.
Yeah.
I
thought I read he had a concussion thing or something in the past, but it doesn't matter because every time you get one, you're more likely to get another one.
Yeah.
But the concussions are so tricky that you want him to be okay as a person and then as a hockey player second, and you know we'll see how long he's out for. And it's unfortunate because I mean he's third on the team in points with 10 goals and 23 points. And you hate to lose that kind of player out there, especially since he and Kuznetsov and Verano are really starting to gel.
Yeah, they really were. And TJ Oshie is a great player. You don't want to lose him long term, especially just look at the next week until Wednesday the 13th. You have Chicago, New York Rangers, New York Islanders, Colorado. I mean, you got two division games in there. You got Chicago, who is really good, and Colorado, who, I mean, you know, they're Colorado. But
they used to be good.
Yeah, I mean it happens. They're at the bottom right now. I mean they're not too far behind the Blackhawks, but still, Blackhawks are the Blackhawks.
They'll get figured out.
What is this team going to do to kind of battle these division rivals, the Blackhawks, which apparently is a rival of ours now. I'm not sure why. But how's the team prepare without TJ Oshie against these teams?
That big rivalry with Chicago. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. It looks like we may see the return of Andrei Burakovsky soon, and my guess is that if he returns, he takes that spot that Oshie was having on the second line with Verano and Kuznetsov, and they go from there. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I still don't know how to say his name right. Chason? Can we come up with a nickname for him so I don't have to botch it every time? With Alex, he'll be playing with him. I think the lines today were Chason and Wilson, Chason and Will, not Wilson, Kuznetsov and Vrana. Not exactly a really scary line, though. Vrana got a goal the other night. Vrana seems to be the king of, oh, look what I found it, and then scores a goal. Because that dude, every time he's, oh, look, a puck. And yeah, oh, cool. So I think that it would be nice to have Kuznetsov, Burakovsky back if Oshie's going to be out, and you just hope that the kid's not out for a long time. And they're going into a bit of a tough stretch, but the team at least is on – they're on an uptick right now in terms of the way they've been playing. Yes, they lost that – they had an ugly loss against L.A., but they had a really good performance against San Jose, and that's going to, you know, give them a nice bit of momentum going into that game against Chicago. I think the Rangers game is a big one. The Islanders are doing quite well right now, so that's also going to be a tough one to get. And then the Colorado game, I mean, you know, you got to play smart against them. You know, every team in the NHL to some extent, maybe except for the Sabres and the Coyotes. But, you know, you got to play a smart game. And it's funny because the Caps are fifth in their division right now with 33 points. The leading team right now is Columbus, who they beat on Saturday with thanks to Braden Holtby.
And they only have 35 points. They look really good against the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, but they only have 35 points. So you're only 2 points, that's one game, back of the team that's in first place. So, you know, you go through a nice stretch here and you could be on top of the division. Or you go through a bad stretch and you could find yourself at the bottom of the division because Philadelphia's, well, they're way behind. But the Rangers are only 3 points behind. Carolina's only six. Carolina? They're only 6 points behind. So it's tough. You gotta win it, lose every once in a while. You gotta keep it being only once in a while if you really want to come out with another banner up in the rafters. Maybe not the one you want, but a nice one to have.
Yeah, and so going back to this Oshie hit, let's look at this one more time. The San Jose Sharks are now complete.
You can't let it go.
Well, no, there's one more aspect here. We got to talk about after the hit. Tom Wilson takes up for TJ Oshie, and this is the one
the
time.
Next period?
Yeah, this is the one time I kind of like Tom Wilson on this team, you know, full time. You know, he does stick up for his teammates. I really do appreciate that. But the San Jose Sharks were complaining because it was a premeditated fight. You know, Tom Wilson going after Joe Thornton. What's your take on that? Is there still a place for that in hockey nowadays?
Every freaking fight after a big hit is premeditated. You get a big hit, even if it's legal, and the other team's like, nah, how dare you look at our player that way? We're going to go after you. So to say it's premeditated is stupid. It's dumb. They're all stupid. All
right.
No, I don't care. I mean, look, it should have gone after him right away if I thought it was that bad. Thornton's, you know, he doesn't really fight very often, but he made the choice to – he could say no. It's not like some guy drops the gloves. You're like, well, now I have to. You could be like, no, jog on. I'm not dropping the gloves against you, buddy. So he made the choice, and the Sharks can just, you know, cry themselves to sleep or something. Because they, if they really want to complain about something, they complain about the fact that the Caps second or third goal, Connolly goal, Ovechkin was offsides. Like, that goal should not have counted.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to complain. I'll take it. I'll take the win. But I'm just saying, like, if they really want something to complain about, complain. I can't speak tonight. Complain about something that you actually have a point.
You know, they can complain like that, but yeah, the game of hockey is changing, but they're gonna, if your teammate gets hit like that, you don't like that hit, you're gonna take up for him. I admire that about Tom Wilson, and that's, you know, the thing we liked about Matt Bradley. It's a part of the game, and as the game changes, that's one thing I'm kind of happy sticks around. You know, everybody's trying to say fighting doesn't belong in the sport anymore, but you know, it kind of does. It kind of does, and I'm okay with Tom Wilson taking that fight because, you know, TJ Oshie's, like you said, he's the third highest scorer right now on the team. We need that player there, and if you take a guy like that out, then somebody's, you know, we're not going to be happy about it. So I say go for it, Tom Wilson. Do it every time if somebody tries to take out one of your guys. But, you know, we'll see. San Jose can continue to if they won, they wouldn't have been complaining, but whatever. So what else should we cover in Caps World?
I don't remember if we touched on it. Kuznetsov's leading team points with 30. Ovechkin's in second with 28, though he has a lead in goals. Oshie is second in goals, so that's a problem, losing him, not him being second in goals. That sounded meaner than I intended. As you know, people keep talking about the fact that Backstrom hasn't scored in 20 games. That's something interesting to keep an eye on, because that's a long time. Again, congratulations to Travis Boyd on getting his first NHL game. That's pretty cool for him. Hope the kid can find a way to stick around. Even though Burakovsky's coming back, and if Oshie ends up being okay in the long run, Caps have some decisions to make, and I'm sure McClellan will find a way to botch it. Congratulations are in order to Alex Ovechkin, who has passed Mark Recchi to be 20th all-time in goals scored in the NHL with 578. That's a lot of goals.
Not too shabby.
I was there for the first one, and I've seen a bunch of others. probably. I was there for another one that was special, but I don't remember what it was. Most goals by a Russian, maybe?
So it's his 500th point? Is that what you were there for?
Those two weren't the same. It was either 500th point. I think I was there for most goals by a Russian.
Okay.
But I don't remember. Anyways, in the NHL, that is. Let's see. The Caps should get some credit here as they've raised more than $130,000 through Hockey Fights Cancer campaign. That is pretty awesome by the team. And speaking of teams complaining about something, San Jose neglected to mention that Brendan Dillon is going to have a hearing for slashing Madison Bowie last night. Talk about people doing a dick move.
That was a nasty slash.
So that guy's going to have a conversation. Go on a timeout for a little while for being a douche. but yeah, that's pretty much all the things going on in Caps world. They're going to have some roster decisions to make. You think everybody's getting healthy, and then bam! Oshie goes down. Bam! Chandler Stephenson goes down. Though he's practicing again, so he looks like he may be back. And I forgot about to mention this before, but it looks like Stevenson's sticking around, Bowie's sticking around. Both have been told to get apartments in the D.C. area, so they don't look like they're going back to Hershey anytime soon.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I saw that on somewhere. I mean, Twitter, but I don't remember. I think Isabel Kershuting of the Washington Post, she was tweeted that out. And I heard Madison Bowie on Elliot in the Morning this morning. Elliot asked him if he was told to get an apartment, because that's like the big thing with young guys or guys that are called up. When you get that phone call or conversation or text message or carrier pigeon or whatever. And the team – I made that last one up. I mean, it's a thing. No one just does it anymore. The teams tell you, hey, go get an apartment, kid. You're sticking around for a while. Or old guy or whoever you are. You're sticking around for a little while. So it looks like Stevenson and Bowie aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Stevenson's bringing a lot to this team, by the way. It's too bad he got hurt, because that dude's got some speed. He can move the puck. I mean, I see a little bit more in terms of the goal-scoring department, but I say that better.
So if you're a young player and you get that call, go get an apartment, do you think Stevenson and Bowie are buying an apartment, like splitting it together, or are they crashing on Tom Wilson's couch? Are they getting their own place? What do you think?
No, I think – well, I mean, they have to look around first, but I won't be surprised if they do a Mike Green, Brooks alike, and they're all kind of like get an apartment together, at least two of them. Or no. Yeah, they were living together at one point, right? Or they were in apartments like next to each other.
Yeah, I think they were in the same building.
And then Green made like cereal. Or the other way around, I don't remember.
I remember he got a special jacuzzi like – craned into his apartment.
That was in Green's like big apartment, not his like I'm a rookie first year, second year player apartment.
That was his bachelor pad right there. That's I got a ton of money. I can rent a crane and have a hot tub lifted to my apartment.
Green's a guy that people were talking about the Caps should go after to bring back to help his defense. And I was like, where are they getting that cap space from?
Yeah, where's that? Like, is he doing that bad in Detroit? That is, he doesn't cost that much?
No. I think it's that. He's still going to cost something. It's not like he doesn't cost money anymore. Detroit's just not doing as well as they'd like to be. And the thought is, you know, if they want to start moving guys out or move somebody out, that they could go get Mike Green. It's not going to happen. At least not until we get closer to the trade deadline.
That's true. So you brought up Nick Backstrom, and he's going, 20 games without a – was it a goal or a point?
A goal.
Without a goal. What do you think's going on with him? Is it because...
Dude, of Ovechkin scoring, you know Backstrom's getting some points.
That's true.
Like, that's just gonna happen.
So is it because he hasn't... Is it because he's been working with Ovechkin recently? Or what do you think it is? Why hasn't he gotten a goal?
Yeah, he's terrible. He's the worstest player in the world. No, it's, you know, he's not pressing for it. Like, he's not a guy that's out there and stressing about it. He's making, you know, comments and jokes about it a little bit with reporters. I think he's a setup man. He's looking to get someone else the puck. He's never been a huge goal scorer. And it's the thing that, like, Boudreaux worked with him on and Oates worked with him on and Trotz, I'm sure, is working with him on. But he's not a huge goal scorer. But I think he'll get one soon. My guess, he doesn't score against Chicago. He gets one versus the Rangers.
Yeah. You know, I he doesn't like being under the microscope, or he doesn't like the spotlight. So the second the spotlight's on him and he's like, he hasn't gotten goals, he's like, oh, man, I got to get a goal now so they'll leave me alone.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, they're doing all right, and they got to keep going. I mean, they're in fifth, but they're 2 points back of first, so it's not as bad as it sounds.
That's right, and we still got a little bit of time until playoff time, but, you know, it's getting there. It's getting there, and they keep getting better, which is a good thing. So more points you got, the better. All right, so that's pretty much it for Caps World this week. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with a round. Nope.
Nope.
We will be back with Down on the Farm.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
In the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Milwaukee and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears are currently 11-10-3, good for 25 points, which puts them sixth in the Atlantic Division, but they are only 3 points back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears play next with three games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Lehigh Valley. Yes, Lehigh Valley, why not? And Sunday in Hershey against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, they also play next Wednesday at the Giants Center against Brandon's favorite team, and only because we get to say it like it, the departed, Providence.
Providence. My keen detective skills tell me these people are from Providence.
In other Bears news, the team set a new record in their teddy bear toss with 25,017 bears tossed onto the ice. It's not real bears. That'd be dangerous. All teddy bears that are tossed onto the ice are donated to charity, so that's nice of them. And Liam O'Brien actually scored the goal that got the Bears tossed onto the ice. No, that's your boy, Brandon.
He came up for a little bit. He had it for a cup of coffee this season already.
He was your – no, we're not doing the Zappoli thing. He was your – I'm so disappointed that guy left, if only for the bit. Yeah, because he was okay. He was your buddy. You were his favorite. No, that didn't make sense.
I was his favorite? I had no idea.
He loved you. Over the past 7 years, the Bears have collected 116,566 teddy bears. Jesus Christ, that's a lot. Now, credit must be given to Chocolate Hockey for that statistical bear information.
They definitely specify, you know, they're very good in the statistical bear information.
It's an important category to do well in.
How many of those bears?
Chocolate Hockey, they know what they're doing.
How many of those bears were actually bears? That's the real question here, Chocolate Hockey. Help us out. Tell us how many are Daffy Ducks?
I'm hoping for everyone's sake that answer is zero. Because that's dangerous. And other things that sound dangerous, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays, get it? Because they can sting you. Anyways, they had a rough week as they went 0-2. That's not good. They're currently fourth in this. I feel like they were fifth last week, so how they lost and got higher, that doesn't make any sense. They're currently fourth in the South Division with clearly I'm remembering incorrectly, with a record of 10-4-4, good for 24 points, 11 back of first place Florida. Though, Florida has played three more games. So if the Stingrays go on a nice little winning streak, they can only be down by five, which is not that many. Or it's just, you know, it's not bad. They're back at it as we speak, going up against Greenville on the road, followed up by Thursday, well, it's still against Greenville, And then they return home this weekend for a home-and-home starting on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Atlanta, with Sunday's game being in Atlanta. That's how a home-and-home works. They also play next Wednesday in Florida. That's what's going on down the farm.
All right. Well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Keep it up. And they're kind of like middle of the pack, just like the Capitals. So, hey, let's keep it all the same. And
hey, do you think if Crosby was out there at the Hershey game, he would have gotten mad because they kept throwing teddy bears on the ice?
Oh, 100%. They'd be like, hey, guy, this is for charity. But I need to play.
Yeah, stop throwing them on the ice.
Crosby. Ugh. Sick of that guy. All right, well, that's it. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Coach Dan's going to tell us everything going on. And guess what? There's going to be a lot of NHLers playing in February, and there's going to be even less playing in February that aren't NHL players if you're Russian-born. So you're going to hear all about that. So, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, we're going to start with some trades. We'll start in Edmonton as they acquired Mike Camilleri from L.A. for Juuse Jokinen. L.A. apparently wanted to take all of the forwards in the National Hockey League. Also acquired Torrey Mitchell from Montreal for a fifth-round pick. Now, one of the biggest recent trades was between Anaheim and New Jersey, where Anaheim sent defenseman Sammy Vatanen and a conditional draft pick to New Jersey for forward Adam Henrique, Joseph Blandisi, and a third-round pick in 2018. That is a big one. The Devils are not playing around. Next, let's check in on some suspensions, where Colorado's Gabriel Landeskog was suspended for 4 games back on November 25th for cross-checking Calgary's Matthew Tkachuk. That's not very nice, Gabriel. And you're going to sit down. Tampa's Cedric Paquette was suspended 1 game for boarding Boston's Torrey Krug. That's rude. Another interesting NHL news, Seattle has approved a deal to fix up their stadium or something. I don't know. I didn't really read the whole thing because I still think it's bogus. Now, the talk right now is that it's likely that the NHL may seriously give Seattle a look, and it's possible that they may get a team either by relocation, and a couple teams mentioned were Arizona or Calgary, since Calgary is having a bit of a stadium or arena problem on their hands right now.
Calgary, really?
Yeah, they're threatening to leave if they don't get more money for a stadium, because that makes sense.
What, they don't like the Saddle Dome?
It's like 100 years old.
It is definitely a really old stadium.
It's up there in age. It's older than you, Brandon. And that joke doesn't work because I'm older than you. You got to imagine, though, if Seattle gets a team, people in Quebec are going to flip out.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Hartford as well, now that I think about it. I mean, you know what? Those games between Seattle and Vancouver would be real interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
They already got a huge rivalry going on in MLS, even though the Whitecaps aren't very good. Not that I can say anything, I'm a DC United fan. What would be a good name? People are throwing out names. What would be a good one for Seattle? And before you say anything, you can't call in the rain, because that's the women's soccer team. And a lot of people were like, duh, the Seattle Rain. And everyone was like, guys, that's already taken. Try again.
Rain spelled R-E-I-G-N?
Yeah, that's how they spell the – you can't be R-A-I-N. We got the rain and the rain. Like, what? No, now some people were saying this should be the Metropolitans, because I actually used to have a Seattle team up there by that name. And – they would then be forced to change the name of the stupid division that the Capitals are in. Huh. That's not my joke. Someone said it on Twitter, and I agree with you. I support your message of changing the name. One idea was to go back to the Seattle Pilots.
Pilots?
The problem with that is it just sounds dumb. Yeah. Like, not as bad as the New Orleans Pelicans, which is super
Pierre.
Stupid. Go NBA. But yeah, so those are a couple of the options that are possibilities right now in terms of new NHL teams. I have to imagine they're not going to sit at 31 because that's stupid.
What about the Seattle Grunge? That's where grunge music was born.
See, that's an XFL team name.
Yeah. Remember the XFL? That was fun.
For like a minute.
Seattle, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll think about that and get back to it. We'll call it names and come back to it next week.
Yeah.
We won't, because we're not going to remember. In international news, Russia has been banned from the upcoming Winter Olympics for doping. They didn't think they were going to get caught, but you know what? You can't cheat, so you lose. Clean athletes are allowed to participate. Clean Russian athletes, I should say, will be allowed to participate as a neutral participant. That is going to be very interesting this Winter Olympics. And I have to imagine somewhere, likely the Kremlin, Donald Trump is very upset. No, I don't know. It's the whole thing's just, it's crazy. Like, you know, you were talking before the show about Ovechkin and what would have happened there. And that would have been interesting. But I have to imagine, hope and pray, that he was not one of the dopers and that he would have been allowed to play. But he would not have been allowed to represent Russia.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's talk about this for a little bit. Does it take the sting away from, like, Ovi and Kuzi and Orly and a couple other Russian players that they weren't allowed to participate because of the NHL now? Does it, like, take the sting away a little bit? Like, oh, we weren't going to be able to
No.
Really? So you don't think it was, like, the
no.
the national pride? You know, they were
no.
feeling? They
because
just wanted the gold
they
medal?
They still want to play in the Olympics. They want to play – because you okay, so it's likely – that they all get to play, the NHL Russian players, I would assume, at least Caps players. So they're still playing with their fellow countrymen. They're still representing their country, even if the Olympics refuses to play their anthem or let their jerseys look like the Russian ones, which, let's be honest, they're probably going to be better as neutral team than what the Russians will probably end up looking like, especially the USA ones. I'd almost rather the USA people get banned just so they can pick a new jersey for the team. But yeah, it's just crazy everything that's going on in the world now, and you know, they got booted. We'll see if it's upheld or if somehow the Russians find a way to be like, nope, we're back in.
Now, do you think the Olympic Committee or whoever they are, the IIHF or whatever,
it doesn't matter, they're going to find a way to give it to Canada.
Well, yeah, but do you think after, like, all right, Russia's not allowed to compete, no Russian athletes, whatever, do you think they are kind of going like, man, we probably should have, like, negotiated with the NHL a little bit more now, because now that we lost, like, an entire country of athletes that can't perform, especially in hockey, which is the most popular, that gets the most ratings during the Olympics, like, do you think they were kind of like, man, maybe we should have been a little bit nicer to the NHL, giving them something so we can tell people to be like, hey, look, this is your favorite players. Tune in now. Because I would assume the doping thing wouldn't affect the NHLers because, I mean, they're on you know, they're tested all the time in the league. So, like, they're
– because they're still screwed.
The Olympics lost a lot with Russia not perform or not being able to perform, with the NHL not allowing their players to go. I mean – This could be like one of the worst Olympics ratings wise, participant wise, in a long time.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference in terms of their negotiation or lack thereof with the NHL, because with the rushing is irrelevant because they already didn't have the NHL players there. I don't think it makes a difference in the long run. That's my two cents.
All right. Well, I mean, it's just kind of interesting because I'm like, man, the Olympics can't get anybody to come now. So it'll be interesting
well,
to see.
It's not they can't get them to come. They're not letting them
right.
come.
Well, yeah.
The Russians are like, hey, leave or don't even show up because we're not going to let you in the building.
Yeah. I guess I should also say, I mean, we shouldn't take away the fact that the Russians did cheat. And they got caught. And
there is that.
There is a reason why they are being banned. But I'm just thinking, like, business wise, if you're on the Olympic Committee, you're like, man, no one in the U.S. or Canada. Well, Canada will still watch because it's hockey. But man, no one's going to be watching now because now their favorites, Ovechkin and other people around the league, aren't performing, and now you lose an entire country that isn't going to watch the Olympics either. So, like, business-wise, ratings are going to be down. Money's going to be down. But I mean, you can't allow athletes that are dopers to be a part of it. I mean, that's just common sense. So
it's literally cheating.
Yeah, it is like the definition of cheating. Like,
yeah.
What is cheating? Using drugs to get better. Yeah, that's about it. So yeah, I mean, stupid Russia. I shouldn't say that. Putin's going to kill me, but.
Yeah, you're in trouble now, buddy.
All right, anything else going on around the
NHL? Brandon, it was nice knowing you.
When the show goes away next week, you will know why.
Middle of the show. Brandon? Brandon! That's it. You're just dead. No, I mean, that's the news for the past week in the NHL. And the world, apparently.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capital stuff, as well as things about the Premier League and Arsenal. Not really so much about the Skins lately. DC United from time to time, all sorts of local DC sports and sports around the world. But like Brandon was saying, if you want to continue the conversation, you want to check us out over on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Find out when we got new shows coming out, as well as everything in the wide world of Washington Capitals sports. Check us out over there. It's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Before that, though, I do got to say you should be following both of us on Twitter, because you see great things from the two of us, like how I compared to Yevgeny Kuznetsov and Coach Dan to Brett Connolly.
Oh, we forgot to talk about that. Leaving, that was funny as hell.
Leaving me hanging, as always, with my great comedy on the show, where I just have to give myself a self high five because you're just leaving me hanging.
Nope. Nope. Yeah, settle down, DDP.
Great yoga. He does some great yoga. He really does.
Anyways.
All right, guys. If you go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an iTunes review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Don't forget, if you are local to the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, watch Maryland Public Television every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and watch Maryland Farm and Harvest. It is a half-hour show about the farming industry and culture here in Maryland, and I have been lucky enough to be the editor of that show this entire season. I think episode 4 aired this week. If you want to catch past episodes, go to video.mpt.tv. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Now let's look at the games coming up until we talk. Again on Wednesday, December 6th. It's Wednesday night, rivalry night, and no, the Caps not. Are up against Chicago because we're rivals.
It's not a rivalry.
We played outside once and now we hate each other, apparently.
This is so stupid.
But that game is at 8 o'clock, and that will be nationally on NBC Sports. It is two big markets. That's why they have that as a national rivalry game.
Dumb.
And then on Friday, December 8th, the Caps are still at home up against New York, the Rangers. You can watch that one on the NHL Network in the U.S., or you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington locally here. Then the Caps have the weekend off, and they are back at it in New York at Barclays Center on Monday, December 11th, up against the Islanders. You can watch that game locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then the Caps come back home in D.C. up against the Colorado Avalanche. That game's at 7 o'clock at Capital One Arena, and you can watch that if you're not going to the game on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back to do another show. So four games. This one's going to be good. I mean, they've had some tough opponents. Yeah, they didn't look great against the Kings, but look good against Columbus, look good against San Jose. We'll see the impact of no Oshie, at least in Chicago, I would believe. Who knows going forward. But Coach Dan, is there a certain game here that you're going to be watching a little extra closely? Because two divisional rivalries, apparently a rivalry that exists between Chicago and D.C., and then Colorado's just kind of there. Is there a game you're going to be paying extra special attention to?
Oh, definitely this fictional rivalry between the Capitals and the Chicago Blackhawks, because that's a real thing.
Yeah, grr, hate you guys.
Idiots. So stupid. I think the game against the Rangers is going to be telling.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Rangers is the big game. That's going to be a bit telling.
Or we're going to see the return of Kevin Shattenkirk to DC.
Whoa!
That's right.
Don't really care.
Yeah, because he sucks. But that's just
no,
me.
Brandon, that's not fair.
Terrible. Terrible player.
No.
Gets traded, gets suspended immediately, doesn't show up in the playoffs. Yeah, he fit perfectly.
Dude, a lot of people didn't do that in the playoffs.
Ugh. Shattenkirk.
If they had re-signed him, I think it would have been a good deal.
The
but
long,
he cost too much.
The long lost
he cost too much
of Andy Kaufman.
Money.
Cost a lot of
that's,
money.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Did you watch that Jim and Andy on Netflix yet?
No.
I want to watch that. I loved that movie as a kid. Man on the Moon. I really want to check that out. But I'm busy. It's the holiday season. All right, guys. That is it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.